What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Joining me is Brett Franklin, Bill De Niro, and Mark Smaldino, along with Greg Kirchner. Actually, we are all five of us now Ohio State grads. Mark and Bill just graduated this past year. And, you know, Greg, Brett and I are, you know, a little bit older, but you know, we're still 2005 graduates or in that vicinity. So this should be fun. We're going to do a little bit of an Ohio State preview show. And, you know, I'm going to ask some random questions and get these guys' opinions on a lot of stuff. So what we're going to do, the very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have you guys just give me a bold prediction on something for Ohio State this year. It could be offense, defense, special teams, wins, whatever it might be. Mark and Bill, we're going to start with you two because, you know what, I'll tell you what, Bill, we'll start with you.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to have you give me your bold prediction for Ohio State 2021.
I guess my bold prediction is Master Teague is no longer slept on by a lot of people. I know we have Travion Henderson coming in, but I think Master Teague is ready to show that, like, this is kind of his get paid year. And I think he's going to really, like, surprise a lot of people on what he has to do. Because I know everybody's like, oh, like, it's Travion's show. It's just a matter of time. But I think he's going to really show people a lot of stuff this coming Thursday and then hopefully the rest of the season. I mean, it's not a bad problem to have where we have so many running backs, but I think he's going to show people up.
Okay. All right.
Again, bold, but
no, that's what we're looking for. That's what we want. Mark, how about you?
Well, I kind of have two. My first part is a counter to Bill. I don't think Master T gets a carry in the second half of the season.
Right, there we go.
I think Mayan Williams will take over that spot. And my actual bold prediction is this is the best offensive line in school history.
Ooh, okay.
I think they have a lot. I mean, we have experience of really young guys that are like Paris Johnson, that are this future first rounder. I think this will be a really dominant year up front.
Okay. Greg, how about you?
Oh, man. I know, you know, it's almost like any bold, like the bold prediction isn't we're going to go undefeated and win every game convincingly. It's almost like the bold prediction would be we lose a game. I'm going to say this game Thursday is, I guess I'll go bold and say it'll be the closest game we play all season.
Okay.
I think we'll just come out maybe a little bit slow. It's one of those weird games. We always have a weird road one. I'm going to say the first game is a battle. And then from that point on, hopefully it's a much smoother sailing as the season goes on.
And very interesting. Okay. Yeah. I actually was just looking at Phil Steele's book today. And he has Minnesota as the number one, like, returning units in all of college football, like the oldest team based on playing experience in college football. So you might be right on that.
I hope I'm wrong. So I definitely hope I'm wrong.
All right. Brett, how about you? Bold prediction.
I'm going to say by midseason, Jack Sawyer's starting.
Okay.
And I think it's a, I don't, he, I mean, he's been here since spring, so he's definitely had quite a bit of time to like get caught up with everything. And I think he's coming into a defensive end situation, which is good. They're not bad by any means, but I'd say, you know, we've been used to the Chase Youngs, the Bosas, you know, those, and we didn't have that last year. And this year still, like, I really like Zach Harrison and, you know, he'll come up later. But I really think Jack Sawyer is going to make a name for himself by midseason. He's going to, if not starting role, he's going to be playing 50% of the game.
Okay. All right. I like that. My bold prediction, and I think this one's very bold. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba will lead the team in either receiving yards or touchdowns this year. Because I think Olave and Wilson are going to get a lot of, you know, they're going to get the main two guys on them. And I think he'll be able to fill in the cracks, kind of fill that Garrett Wilson role from 2 years ago. So that's my bold prediction for this season. And I guess I'm giving myself an out because I said either or, but I think he's going to get a lot of good looks this year. And that's going to really help a new quarterback out. So, okay, let's go to the next question. Greg kind of started it. or led into it with the talking about the Minnesota game. So I'm going to bring up Ohio State's schedule here. And I want you guys, you know, I guess we already kind of got Greg's answer on this, but you guys tell me what you think the toughest game on this schedule is. So I'll tell you what, Franklin, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, your obvious ones, you would immediately go to Oregon or Penn State, and Penn State after Indiana doesn't sound so great by any means, but I'm actually going Indiana. I think they have a little chip on their shoulder from last year, and it's not, you know, the fans were a lot worse, of course, but I think, you know, losing that game, that was the one thing that kind of like held their season back from being like a top-notch season. Even though by their standards, though, I guess in past history, it was a top-notch season. So I'm going to go Indiana. I think that's going to be, it's probably our toughest game.
Okay. All right. Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, to avoid the obvious of Oregon, I mean, I really don't see a loss here at all. I heard you're saying, Brett, but I mean, Indiana lost a ton of seniors last year. I think their season was, I mean, I'd say a little fluky. I mean, if I had to pick one that's not obvious, like Penn State or Oregon, I think I'm going to say Purdue. They have some NFL talent on the outside. I could see us looking ahead a little bit to Michigan State and Michigan. So I would hope that Ryan Day doesn't let another Ohio State team take Purdue lightly, but I'm going to say Purdue.
Okay. All right. Billy, how about you?
Yeah, avoid the obvious. Like Mark said, not going to pick Oregon, but I could agree with Indiana being a look-ahead game to Penn State. And plus, you never know what the weather's like in October. Could be one of those rainy games, and they can have that chip on their shoulder. I was going to say Nebraska until this weekend, and then they can't stop a nosebleed. So, I don't know. Michigan State's always just such a weird game, but they're not that great either. I'll go with Michigan State. Just on the whim that anything could happen in that game late November. Who knows what the weather's going to be. So, yeah.
I do like Mel Tucker as a coach. Actually, when I was at Ohio State, he was, I believe, the defensive back coach. And we took a class with Jim Tressel, and he led one of the classes. And he just seemed like a really cool guy. But, I think they had got a lot of guys in the transfer portal as well. So they could be a sneaky team. But I saw Vegas has their win total around four and a half. So I'm going to just go with the obvious. I'm going to go Oregon because – Thibodeau scares me a little bit, even though we have a great offensive line. They have one lockdown corner, but we also have a crazy wide receiver room. So I think that's a game. Maybe Jeremy Ruckert goes off in that game, something like that. And mysteriously, Oregon had a couple players, cornerbacks get in trouble shooting BB guns in downtown Eugene and were suspended the first game, but did not get suspended. They're reinstated for the Ohio State game, even though that still has not, charges have not been completely, you know, dropped in that case. So I think
maybe they'll have court that day.
Yeah, maybe they'll be in court, you know, especially the one thing that works for us. I think we all would prefer a night game, but, you know, a 9 a.m., you know, West Coast kick might work to our advantage. But that being an early season game, I'm sure they've been practicing early in the mornings for, you know, to get ready for that game, knowing it's pretty big. We'll see how they do. I think they got Fresno this week, so we'll see how they do against Fresno and, you know,
I was just going to say our track record in those early season home big interconference games is not the greatest over the two, and that's a little bit scary. So, you know, but yeah, but it's all, it'll also, I can't even imagine what the shoe will be like for that game. I mean, for a first home game after a year of no fans, you can't pick a better one, I don't think.
Exactly. That's going to be awesome. All right, so.
And no one said the last thing. No one mentioned the last game having to go up north, especially if they're undefeated. I don't care how bad those guys are. I don't care what's been going on. That's not going to be an easy one, especially if we're undefeated. So
I thought I thought there'd be at least one person to say it. So that yeah. That is looking as we were going through. That's especially at coming off of Michigan State going up there. That's going to be it's a tough one.
For the record, Michigan's win total this year is 7.5. At least by my last check, I actually put in a $50 bet just for the hell of it to, take the Michigan under. So I got Washington over, Michigan yeah. under, and I think that's going to be a big, big early season game. So I'm looking forward to that.
Is that regular season only the yes, win?
The 12 games. Yeah. 12. And the thing that stinks is if a game gets canceled for any reason, they drop the bet.
They dropped the bet.
Yeah. So even if you win by forfeit,
it still drops.
They drop the bet. Yeah. So if it works in your favor, it doesn't count. So
what if they won like 8 and then they drop like the 9th game, like where like the last game gets dropped? Like that's
a good point.
They have to play the 12 based on this sports book from what
this happened a lot last year at the COVID cancellations.
Yeah.
Hardly like any team played all their games, so you couldn't mm-hmm. cash any of them.
That's just Northwestern, I think.
Yeah.
Big Ten. Yeah.
The house always wins. It's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. All right, real quick, the biggest. I'm just going to have you guys, in your opinion, give me your biggest strength and biggest weakness of this team. I feel like this is a job interview. Mark, we'll start with you. You probably know this. You and Bill probably know this team inside and out better than all of us. But what do you think the biggest strength is, and then followed by the biggest weakness?
For me, I mean, you go a couple different ways to strengths. I'm just going to keep harping on the offensive line. They got experience. They have youth. They have NFL guys all across the line. They have big DeJuan Jones. He's going to get the start. He's a mountain of a man. Thayer Munford and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, both NFL tackles. You have Paris Johnson inside, who will be an NFL tackle one day, and then you got Harry Miller. I've looked for a bounce back year of Harry. I'm not sure he was healthy last year. That's about as dominant as a run blocking unit as you can get. So I'm going to go with them. I think the weakness is obvious. We're all going to say defensive back. I'm a Kerry Combs defender. He's been a little screwed by Tabor Johnson and Jeff Hafley's recruiting. He still doesn't have his guys in there. I mean, they're starting to, but we're still going to be rolling out with Cam Brown and Seven Banks. I think you're going to see some legend Cavazos as a sophomore and Ryan Watts. I don't think those freshmen are quite ready yet. So that'll be the big question mark to me.
Okay. Bill, how about you?
I think our biggest strength is wide receivers. As long as CJ Stroud can throw the ball somewhat, be a third of what Justin Fields was, they should have no problem getting guys open and just making plays out on that side. I think the biggest weakness, I'd have to say the linebackers, but like we said, we're like completely re-rolling with the linebackers, so hopefully we get something new and something better than we saw in the national championship game.
Okay. Brett, how about you?
Well, I'm kind of with Mark a little bit, but I'm not going to completely repeat him. I think, you know, the offensive line, especially with moving Thayer Mumford inside to guard, it shows you how deep they are. But to a point that you mentioned earlier, Justin, I think the wide receiver room is just absolutely insane. When you have a guy like Mbuka who can – it's not Mbuka, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, I think. You can move him to slot.
Right.
Like, and you have a guy like Marvin Harrison who is already, like, just blowing people out of the water. In practice, I think you see the kind of people that they have. So I think, you know, we could see a lot of 5 wide threat openings there. I can see a lot of that happening. So I'm going to go wide receivers, but I also think our weakest, because it was our weakest last year, and I want to see if the improvement there is the exact opposite on the DBs. We got to get that. It's just got to get better. That's the one thing that it destroyed us in the championship game. And not that we were going to really cover those guys. That might be one of the greatest teams to ever play.
Right.
But that our DBs last year were just so atrocious. So, I mean, a lot's riding on Seven Banks and Josh Proctor. They got to get it done.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, Greg, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I won't echo kind of what everybody else said. I mean, I agree with everything. I'll just mention from a hate to call it a weakness, but you got to call it what you got to call it what you're going to call it. It's lack of experience. I mean, the quarterback position is I think Stroud will do extremely well, but he is new, and you know, college football and any football is about the quarterback position. So, it's a question mark. It's got to. But I think it was Billy's point. If he can be half of what Justin Fields was on this with the talent he has around him, we'll be just fine. But I'm hoping he'll be 75% of Justin Fields.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and he that's maybe all he needs to be with all the weapons around him. And I think you don't have to just rely on J.K. Dobbins like we did in 2019. Once he got hurt, that really hurt us in the Clemson game. But I think if Teague goes down, or if Henderson went down, you still have, like Mark mentioned, you got Mayan Williams, who a lot of people are really, really high on in this camp. I could say the same thing for strengths. I really think the entire offense is the strength. It's so apparent. I actually could even say the defensive ends are going to be a loaded group. You have Zach Harrison, who this is kind of like, hey, if you have a good year, you're gonna get paid millions and millions and millions being a first rounder. Same thing with Tyreek Smith. Tyreek Smith blew up Clemson's offensive line last year, had a great game. Haskell Garrett's gonna get paid. I know he's a defensive tackle, but Franklin mentioned Jack Sawyer. I think we'll see a little bit of JTT. Probably into maybe when we get a few weeks in, probably the Akron and the Akrons and the Tulsas, we'll probably start seeing him. But it's an embarrassment of riches, really, on that defensive end position. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's go into a little bit of talk with CJ Stroud, because I think, as Greg mentioned, he's kind of the unknown, and I think he's just unknown because we haven't seen him actually throw a forward pass. We've seen him hand the ball off, and we saw him, run that long touchdown in against Michigan State last year, but that's basically about it. So, by all accounts, this kid was a great basketball player in high school in California, but he ended up being, I believe, the third quarterback in that class, a late five-star addition. So, Mark, I know a lot about CJ Stroud, and you were talking him up last year as the backup. So why don't you tell us what you think, his attributes?
I think he's still raw. And I think that that's something that we're going to have to be a little patient with. Anytime you get a quarterback that's so inexperienced, it's going to happen. Like you said, he was a late riser. He was a three-star for most of his junior season. And he started to blow up early in his senior year. If you remember, Ryan Day skipped the Heisman, or what the college football award show, to go have an in-house meeting with Stroud. I don't know if you guys remember that, but
now,
that
see, was, these are why you're on the show. I would have no idea about this.
Dabo was there, and Saban was there, and Day was out in California on Stroud's couch. So this is a kid he targeted early, even with Jack Miller committed in the class. He won the Elite 11 as a senior, which is the top quarterback competition for high schools. All the receivers say, the number one thing that I've noticed that they all say about him this camp is that he always gives them a chance. And they say that every ball that they have a chance to catch it. And if that's true, I'll take our wide receivers in a one-on-one matchup with any defensive backs. Like I said, I'm excited. I honestly kind of do see a little bit of Justin Fields in him, like in his body. He's getting thicker. He was really skinny when he showed up, but Coach McMurati has really put on some good weight on him. So I'm really excited.
Very good. Bill, Brett, or Greg, you guys have any thoughts on CJ Stroud?
I think when you walk into that wide receiver room as a quarterback, you're going to be okay. They're going to help you out a lot. He's going to make mistakes. Unfortunately, there might be some times early on, maybe in a game like Oregon, where he makes, some, we'll call it rookie mistakes, just, first time starting essentially. But I'm I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen out of him. And I think Mark, you know, talking about a little comparison to Justin Fields, I think they even said that he has even a stronger arm than Justin, which is when we saw those throws Justin was making against Clemson, and that's to already be getting that accolade is pretty insane. So I'm excited to see what he can do. We'll see what comes out of him. You know, there are some great guys backing him up, but if, you know, he can separate himself, that just means that he's going to be a great one.
Well,
yep. Yeah, I definitely agree with both of you guys. I think the mistakes are going to happen. It's his first year college starting quarterback, but the raw talent is there. And me and Mark talked about this off camera. Everybody talks about what if Quinn Ewers transfers? What if Kyle McCord transfers? But at the end of the day, whoever is starting is going to be a dog for Ohio State. So mm-hmm. You can just tell that that guy is going to be the real deal and we're going to be in good hands. And I think CJ Stroud is that alpha guy in the room and all the receivers really respect him for that.
Okay. All right. Very good. Greg, any thoughts on him or the quarterback room in general?
No, I mean, I think I'm confident he'll be well. I think anybody who is around for the Joe Bossierman era or whatever his name was, you're always uneasy when the starting quarterback, somebody that you're not familiar with and haven't seen and doesn't have experience. But, you know, I think anymore that has really changed in college football. It used to kind of be okay, the first year is going to be tough no matter what, but these quarterbacks now, even coming straight out of high school, they're ready. But, you know, after having a year kind of just being around this team, practicing with this team, watching Justin Fields go to work every day, these guys are so much more prepared than they were 10 years ago and certainly 20, 30 years ago to come right in and you know, make something happen. So I think,
yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's fair to say Bowser bombs are a thing of the past.
Well, speaking of Joe Bowserman, we did dig up some information and found his passing chart from that Nebraska game.
Which is one of the funniest things ever, man. The people in the parking lot, just so lucky.
You know, and the fact that he had a 25-point lead in that game and we managed to lose that was very, very frustrating. So, but yeah, I think what Greg said too, I think we're beyond the Bowserman era. That was the only knock. You know, I know Tressel didn't quite recruit the way Urban did, but you know, we did not have a backup quarterback. I think Kenny Guyton might have been on that team and they didn't play him. But
I don't know if he was he?
We'll have to look, but regardless.
He may have been, yeah, he may have.
Regardless, you could have put anybody in that backfield besides Joe Bowserman. And we'll just move on from Joe Bowserman talking on this.
Mark was what, 12 years old, 13 years old?
Yeah, they were.
He may have lasted better than.
I might have been actually coaching. I might have been coaching Mark in seventh grade basketball back then. All right, let me ask this. This is a little bit tougher question. Who will the Ohio State quarterback be? And I know this is 2021. But who will the Ohio State quarterback be in 2022? Just give me a name.
Stroud.
Okay. Brett's going Stroud. Bill?
Stroud.
Greg? Are you talking next? Okay, sorry.
Next year.
Oh, okay.
Greg, what do you think?
I'd say Stroud as well. I think he's going to have, you know, he's going to have a great year this year and he'll be the guy.
Mark?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he'll have a good year and there's no way they're gonna sit him after a great year. Now the question would be if he goes to the NFL after 2 years, then who's the quarterback?
Right.
That's a $1 million question.
It's gonna be Arch Manning down the road.
You hear the question more and more. Is Arch Manning a Buckeye?
Well, I mean, if Ryan Day can get Justin Fields, you know, I think it sounds weird, but Justin Fields producing for the Bears is very important to Ohio State football.
Yes.
because, and then CJ Stroud, if he can take off and then become an, you know, first or second rounder, you know, that only helps the future quarterback commits that are, you know, and I believe it's, you guys would know his name. I can't think of his name offhand, but the quarterback coach is Urban Meyer's son-in-law. as Corey well. Corey Dennis. Yeah. So he, you know, he seems to be like the good cop when Ryan Day is kind of being the bad cop, yelling at him and stuff. But they seem to get through to these guys and know what they're doing. All right, let's go through a couple rapid fire questions here with other questions. Will any of these quarterbacks, transfer by the end of this season? So we're talking Stroud, Miller, McCord, or Ewers?
I'm going to say no, because I'm playing it off of, you know, transfers midseason are highly, highly unlikely.
Sure.
After the end of season, yeah, that's a very different story. But midseason, during season, no.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody?
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, I think everybody, even Jack Miller, knows, like, if anybody were to leave, he's got a foot out the door. But I think he'll obviously stay the rest of the season just in case. Because you never know what could happen. I mean, you could strong get hurt, you can throw it in, whoever. Like, anybody can get hurt. So, but, yeah. If anybody were to leave, it'd be him, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, trying to get into play another, learn another system's playbook, you know, getting anything meaningful, you're not going to do it. So you might as well just stay where you're at. Just, you know, learn what you can from these people and then, you know, take off somewhere else. And you're right. I think it would be Jack Miller of all people.
Anybody else think anybody's transferring in season?
It would make no sense to do it in season. Yeah. The one time you can't even play now if you wanted to leave now anyway. I fully expect Jack to leave at the end of the season. Hopefully he's the only one, but yeah, I'm with those guys.
Yeah. I feel like Ryan Day has been very like tight-lipped about who the backup is, because I feel like whoever the backup is one snap away. Whereas is it McCord? Ewers isn't going to be ready yet. So it's got to be Miller's third string. And then Ewers, you know, you're kind of just grooming him, and hopefully he'll play, you know, whether it's he'll be the backup next year and then play in 23. But I don't know. He got his truck today.
Is Ewers getting any reps? And I mean, how are they even handling him?
Like, he was shut down for a little bit. They said it wasn't a big deal, but he was doing individual reps for a while. I'm not sure he's been thrown on 11-on-11s yet.
Okay.
So I think the expectations for him are pretty laid out. I'm not expecting him to be a factor at all.
His whole thing was coming in is for the NIL. Nothing more, nothing less. Which, you know, more power to him. I don't blame him for that. He had like one class he needed to like get or something like that to be able to graduate high school. So
yeah
whatever. Yeah, yeah. Go get your money, man.
Yeah, he got his truck apparently today, I heard, and he's probably drinking kombucha. Or whatever that stuff's called.
So the warm fridge is loaded.
Yeah, he's doing all right. He's doing all right. That's gonna be a question for you guys here in a little bit. But all right, let's go rapid fire on the offense, and then we'll switch to the defensive side after a break. So just give me a name. Who will lead Ohio State in receiving yards this year? Brett, we'll start with you.
Oh, man, I actually had this written down. I'm trying to find out. Go to someone else. I'll have it.
All right. Greg, who will lead Ohio State in receiving this year?
Receiving yards. Oh, gosh. I'm going to say Garrett Wilson.
Okay. Bill?
I was going to say Garrett Wilson, too.
Mark?
So was I.
Oh, all right. That's what I had, too. All right. I just think, Wilson, a lot of it gets a lot more attention. That's all.
All right. Well, to be different. I'm gonna stick with my guns and go Jackson Smith Njigba, even though I think he's actually might lead in touchdowns. I think he might lead in touchdowns.
Yeah. Or possibly receptions out of the slot too, right?
That's true.
I do have Marvin Harrison Jr. as a leader for the freshman, though.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a good. He'll definitely be in the two deep. He's probably the fourth guy right now. All right, who will lead Ohio State in rushing yards this year? Go ahead, Brett.
I'm going to say, is it Trevaeon? Is that how you pronounce it?
Trevaeon.
Okay. Yeah. I knew I was going to pronounce it badly. Yeah, I think it's going to be him.
Okay, Bill?
I know I made my bet with the bowl prediction of Master T, But as that being a bold prediction, I think the realistic one is Travion Henderson.
Okay. Greg?
I'm going to go with Master Teague.
Okay. Mark?
Mine, Williams.
I agree with Mark on that. I'm going to go, I think Travion Henderson is going to be your explosive guy, but I think Mayan Williams is going to have the most carries by the end of the year, which will end up being the, you know, leading in yards. Okay. Jeremy Ruckert, real quick question on Jeremy Ruckert. His over under is 29 and a half receptions. At least by the last check, Ohio State has not had a tight end since 2003 have more than 30 catches. Will Jeremy Ruckert go over 29 and a half? Just a yes or no answer. Brett?
No.
No? Bill?
Nope.
Greg?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
All right. I'm going to go yes, just because I think the tight end sometimes is the safety net for a new quarterback. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I would say no. So, we got.
Yeah, I was thinking he could have 7 or 8 catches in the Oregon game, maybe just as kind of a, you know, yeah, just for Stroud.
At some point, though, I see them having a two tight end set with Gee Scott Jr. in there too, and he's going to get catches as well. Okay. So I think it's spread out a little bit. That's why.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with, we'll talk a little defense and some other random topic. So we'll be back in just a minute.
What's up, guys? Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Wanted to give you a quick update on one of the shows we're going to be doing next week. It is an AFC North preview and breakdown. We're going to talk with Matt Jurgensen. He lives outside of Baltimore, Maryland. He's a Ravens podcaster. And he's going to give us a lot of insight into the Ravens. We're also going to be talking to Jason DeWicke. He is an attorney from Columbus, Ohio, but grew up in the Dayton area and obviously a big Bengals fan. He's a big analytics guy, and he's going to break down the Cincinnati Bengals for us. Dave Spires and Charlie Jennings, they have been on the show before. They're going to break down or help us break down the Pittsburgh Steelers and what we can expect from them in 2021. And obviously, we're a heavy Browns podcast, and we're going to have our usual suspects of Browns guests and information. So look for that show next week on either Tuesday or Thursday, and we'll get you ready for the 2021 NFL season.
All right, we're back for the second half of this recording. Same guys joining me. We are going to talk a little bit more about the defensive end, and we're going to talk a little bit about just some national college football stuff as well. So let's start with this. I guess just overall impressions. I'm just going to open it up to anybody that wants to take it. Overall impressions, obviously, we know the defense sort of was our downfall last year. I mean, we kind of went against the juggernaut of Alabama, but Indiana let us up in the second half last year, and a couple other question mark, maybe decisions or guys maybe not stepping up and playing the role. So overall impressions, what you think of the Buckeye defense going into this football season, whoever wants to take it.
It's just a big question mark right now. I think there's actually probably more talent right now than we saw last year. I think while I didn't hate our linebacker core, they were not the most talented guys in the world.
Sure.
And it was very obvious by year's end. But I think there's a lot more talent. It's just an unknown, unknown thing right now. So we'll see what it is. I really love our defensive line. And so I think that can solve a lot of problems if you're able to get pressure on quarterbacks. But the secondary definitely needs to step up for sure.
Okay. Agreed. Anybody else with their overall impressions of the defense?
Yeah, so I agree with Brett that the defensive line's got to carry the weight here. I'm really high on them as a unit. I think Teron Vincent isn't someone we talked about earlier, but I think he's finally healthy. former five-star defensive tackle. If he could live up to his billing with Haskell Garrett, that's going to be a lot to handle with Harrison and Tyrique Smith and then whatever we get out of the freshman. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, too, I know that they're really high on him. But I think Combs had a little bit of a learning curve last year. They brought in Paul Rhodes, his former head coach at Iowa State, as an analyst. What I've heard is that he's really helping out with the game plan. Combs is kind of more of like a CEO this year compared, and he's letting Matt Barnes kind of do the hands-on teaching with the DBs. So Combs could maybe allocate his time a little bit better. I'm expecting and hoping that operation as a whole is a lot better.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard really good things about Matt Barnes early on. Yeah. Just they seem to really like him. I think he was the special teams coordinator before this. And yes. It just seems to be a likable guy, and people like what he's doing with the DB. Yeah. So, all right, let me ask you guys a few questions now. And this is totally random. You know, it's kind of like we did with the offensive stuff, but let me ask your opinion on this. So, out of, you know, I would imagine the Buckeyes are going to be about 18 to 20 deep on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, you know, you're having a couple, you know, defensive ends rotate in. You're going to have a few linebackers rotate in. You're going to have a few DBs rotate in. And who will be of all of those guys, in your opinion, the leading tackler for Ohio State this year? How about Bill? Let's start with you.
I don't know.
I think this is like, the toughest question.
Yeah, this is tough. I mean, I wish like Jack Sawyer was here another year, because if it was that the case, I'd be like, oh, probably Jack Sawyer. Probably Haskell Garrett, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Like, I'm really just I have no idea.
That's fair. That's fair. That's Mark. How about you? Like, who do you think? You probably know the most about the defensive side of the ball. Who do you think could lead Ohio State in tackles this year?
I fully expect and hope that it's Cody Simon.
Okay.
Dave raved about him the second he got on campus. Now, there's a couple other guys that I'm not sure if they're going to play immediately and where they fit schematically that I am really high on and really excited to see. One is Craig Young. He's an outside linebacker, just up. Freak athlete, one of the last guys that Urban pounded the table for to get. And the other one tore his ACL last year. And if you read anything preseason wise about the team, is Court Williams. I think they might slot him in in the bullet position. And if he starts game one and is playing that, I could easily see him leading the team. I'm really excited for him. He went to St. John Bosco out in California, powerhouse. So those are the kind of the three guys I'm keeping my eye on.
And Mark, could you explain what exactly the bullet position is?
Yeah, so from what I understand, it's kind of like a linebacker safety hybrid, kind of closer to the line of scrimmage. I always kind of imagine it to be like Cam Chancellor from the Seahawks.
Okay.
Just kind of like a rover. I know that's what Notre Dame calls it. That's what they had Jeremiah Wosu-Koromoa play last year. Kind of like the safety linebacker hybrid to kind of do everything.
Okay. All right. Very good. Brett, how about you? What do you think on tackle?
Well, he just gave the explanation for it, so he kind of ruined my thunder. But I actually was going to say it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be, I think, Taraja Mitchell. I think, you know, linebackers are typically the ones who lead the team in tackles anyway. Cody Simon was a good pick, though, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I also was going to say whoever's playing the bullet position, because the next one who leads are safeties. So, you know, to me, it was going to be one of the two, because, you know, they're to Taraja, I think he's just going to be all over the field. I think he's primed for a really big year, and I think whoever's playing the bullet position is just going to be roaming everywhere. So they're going to find – you're going to see them, their jersey next to every single tackle being made.
Okay. Greg, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, no, I was going to say Cody Simon as well, because it's kind of the old school thought that the middle linebacker should be your leading tackler. And I was just going to say that I hope – whoever it is, it's a linebacker and not a true safety, because that would just be a bad sign if our
yes.
the leading tackler. So,
yeah. And I think you've seen in the past couple years, we've been exposed in the backside of the defense, whereas, you know, the leading tacklers, you know, in 2018 when we were probably at our strongest defensively was, you know, those, that middle linebacker or those defensive front guys. So I guess I'm going to go with the same answer. I'm hopeful it's Cody Simon as well. So I'm going to jump on the bandwagon with him this year too, but I could see Taraja Mitchell. I could see Josh Proctor, but hopefully it's not Josh Proctor. So let's go to interceptions. Who do you think might be the interception leader for Ohio State this year? Greg, how about you? We'll lead off with you.
I'll say Seven Banks. But that's a complete shot in the dark there. Probably usually safeties might get a few more looks at picks, but I'll go with the corner on the Seven.
Okay. Brett?
Actually, I was going to go Josh Proctor. I was going with the safety here. Because again, they're the roamers. So, you know, those DBs or the cornerbacks are require the ball being thrown their way. The safety does not. So I figure Josh Proctor has probably got a better chance at least.
Okay. Bill?
I'm just to be different. I'm going to go Lathan Ransom.
I think he
might be a sleeper because, well, last year you heard a lot of talk about him at the end of the year. So hopefully this is like his breakout year where people really start giving him his respect. But you know, who knows?
Okay. Mark?
I like your pick, Bill, but I'm going to go with Brett. I'm going to say Proctor as well. They're pretty stubborn on running this single high safety, which drives me nuts. But I just think that's going to give him a lot of opportunities. I mean, they're hoping he turns into Jordan Fuller, but that's big shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What is it about the one high safety look you don't like?
I just think it's old. I just think with how college football is played now, I would rather have another safety back there over the top. I think it would help us a lot more in the title game than the tough Borland chasing Devontae Smith. That's just me.
But, thanks for bringing that nightmare back.
Yeah, I think the single high safety worked so well when we had Okuda and Damon Arnett because those guys are first round picks. Now we don't have two first round picks on the outside to run that scheme anymore. I kind of wish they would adjust that to their personnel, and if we get 2 years down the line, these freshmen that we have now are two first rounders, run the single high safety again. But I just don't think the personnel fits it, but they know a lot more than I do, so I hope I'm wrong.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah. All right. To be different, since we've had Seven Banks and Josh Proctor, I'm going to go Cam Brown just to be different because I think they're going to throw away from Seven Banks just because he has the potential to be a high draft pick. I think he's getting a lot of love if you see like these mock 2022 drafts. I think he's got to prove a lot more to become a first rounder. I'd say he's probably a third, fourth rounder based on the way he's played in the past. But I'm going to go Cam Brown just because I think he's going to be playing that opposite corner. And I think he's going to get a lot of balls thrown at him. And you know, hopefully he's healthy and ready to go. And, you know, he'll be able to lock down his guy, which is hopefully is the second, you know, the second wide receiver on that team too. So.
Let me just add something real quick. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what you guys think. I've seen the same things you guys have. I'm not quite sure why Seven Banks is getting so much draft talk. I mean, I think it's just because he's the number one cornerback at Ohio State right now.
Yeah.
But I hope he's got to get a lot faster than he was last year.
Yes.
That's how I've taken it. It's just, I think it's more of the school he's coming from and the accolades.
It's a track record,
I think of all the guys that have been out there right now. So
I'm
with you. He didn't prove it. His name's great. I love the name, but
yeah, first round name.
I sent Mark a
video like from some person who obviously had no idea about Ohio State football, and he was saying like Seven Banks is talked about being the number one overall pick in the draft. So I was like, I don't know what Seven Banks you know, but it ain't ours.
I feel like his name is worth about an extra round,
definitely
one round. Like yeah, they just sounds like a guy that would be a first round pick, not a second round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope for the mock draft sake and our sake at Ohio State, it's right. And last year was a weird year, you know, it was a lot of stopping, a lot of starting, not getting that off season. But I think out of any of the positions, corner is probably the most reliant on athletic ability, where you're not necessarily in a major scheme. It's either lock down your guy or you're dropping in zone or whatever. But hopefully for his sake, he has a great year and gets picked early, and we can all laugh at our comments on August 30th, 2021. But yeah, that remains to be seen. But I agree. I think it's probably reliant on based on, you know, Ohio State sort of becoming that DBU of the last decade or so. All right. Let's go now to Ohio State's win total. I think this is a pretty easy bet, but they play 12 regular season games, obviously. It's based on the 12 games. Ohio State's over-under is 11. I saw it before at 10.5 early, and that would have been a great number to jump on because I don't see Ohio State losing two games. But even if they do slip up and lose one, you push. So Ohio State win total 11. Just give me an over under. No explanation, just over under.
I'm going over.
Going over.
Over.
Greg.
Over.
Over as well.
All right. I'm going to be the black cloud in the room, and I'm going to go push. Just because I mean I hope I'm wrong. I think at 11-1 they probably have a good chance to still get in the playoff, but we all know 2017 and 18, they slipped up. They didn't get in, or well, they did slip up the 1 year they got in, but Ohio State with this schedule probably cannot slip up to anybody outside of Oregon. And even then it's a question mark, but I think worst case you push the 11 wins, but I feel like that's free money right there. But again, they don't build those casinos in Vegas with my money, you know? So, okay. So with you guys all going over, obviously Ohio State wins the Big Ten East. Who do they play in the Big Ten championship game? Brett?
I'm going to go Iowa. I mean, Wisconsin seems to be like the solid possibility, probably the odds on favorite, I think, but I like Iowa's team. And my note on this one was basically that this is that year where Kirk Ferentz manages a 2-loss team and wins the Big Ten Coach of the Year and makes it to the, because they made it to the Big Ten championship game. So to me, that's it. I think it's going to be Iowa.
Okay. Bill?
I think it's Wisconsin. Was an even year coming or an odd year? Yeah, I mean Wisconsin, they're loading up again. You know how they do it. Big Ten West is kind of a joke. Northwestern isn't going to be it because they're, I think they're over under and win total is like 3.5. So yeah, I can use it in Iowa. Yeah.
Okay. Greg.
Yeah, I just literally I look to just see where Iowa plays Wisconsin because I do think it comes down to that game. It is in Madison. So I will lean Wisconsin. But I think it comes down to that game. And maybe if Minnesota can do something wildly crazy Thursday, which I sure as hell hope they don't, you know, they could be in the conversation. But
Greg, stop speaking this into existence, please.
I don't want to.
Mark, how about you?
I am in complete agreement with Greg. I mean, basically everything he said. If that game was in Iowa, I'd say Iowa. I really like Minnesota's team, but I'm gonna say Wisconsin. Basically everything Greg said.
Okay. I wrote down Iowa just because actually, Wisconsin, for the first time in a long time that I remember, has a really good quarterback, but not a great running back.
He disappointed last year.
Yeah.
Me, at least. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to go Iowa, and I really don't have a good reason. I think maybe just to be different and I'm sick of playing Wisconsin and Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. Maybe I want some revenge on Iowa from a few years ago. So I'm going to go Iowa with that. I am not going to have you guys pick the college football playoff, but I am going to have you guys pick a few other things here in a minute. So let's start with our biggest rival, the Akrons. No, I'm the team up north. Let's talk about them real quick. I already told you I bet the under 7.5 wins for Michigan. I think they are a 7-5 football team. So what do you guys think about Michigan's team, Michigan's record at the end of the regular season? Mark, let's start with you this time.
Yeah, I'm not high on them. I don't see any reason to be. They have a terrible offensive line. What they had left of their defenses in the NFL. New coaching staff. I got under as well. I see that week one, they're laying 18 points. I'm not saying that they won't, but I don't know how you walk to the window and give them your money and comfortably sit down. I think I need medicated after that. So I'm going under. They're starting McNamara again at quarterback. I don't think anything of him. This seems like, they did the revenge tour. This seems like the farewell tour for Jim Harbaugh. So okay. That's all I got to say about them.
Okay. All right. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I didn't want to say over, but I kind of was thinking over, and then I just pulled up their schedule and I don't see it. It's hard to see because you need less than 5 losses. And first of all, they got to go to Wisconsin. They got to go to Michigan State. They can't beat Michigan State. They got to go to Penn State and they got OSU at home. And that's overlooking the Washington game. And that's overlooking Indiana at home.
Hey, don't forget Rutgers.
And Rutgers. Yeah. I mean, there's 5 losses out there. I go the under. Comic relief too, when you pull up the schedule on ESPN and it tells you where the ticket prices are starting at their games. You could go this weekend starting at $14. You can go in 2 weeks for Northern Illinois starting at $12. Indiana tickets in November starting at $28.
Wow.
That is Michigan football right now. Unbelievable. Under.
Dark, dark times. Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the last dance for Harbaugh. I think he potentially keeps it within 5 touchdowns in year 7 against us. I saw back in May that they released the lines, MGM releases like look ahead lines, and Ohio State's minus 13.5. And I was just wondering where I could put my 401k on that. And then, so, I mean, yeah, I think this is it for Jimmy. And then someone else comes in.
Okay. Brett?
Yeah, I mean, the realistic is under 7-5 is more likely. I did though write over for this reason and this reason alone. They'll squeak out a win somewhere that they shouldn't win.
Sure.
They'll get it somewhere. I don't know where, but that schedule's not forgiving. And you brought up Rutgers, but Greg Schiano's doing a great job
over there. He really is.
So Rutgers isn't a walk in anymore for a team like Michigan. So we saw it last year. So I'm going to go over, but reality, it's likely under.
I'm glad you brought up Greg Schiano. I think he is the perfect coach for Rutgers and should never leave there ever again.
I should stay there the first time, to be honest.
Yes. He just chopped that wood and stay at Rutgers. All right. Very good. So follow-up question. Will Jim Harbaugh be Michigan's coach in 2022?
No.
No? Bill?
I know. If you would ask me this 3 years in a row, I'd probably would say no, and I'm going to say no again, but who knows? I don't know what their obsession is up there or who he has pictures of, but yeah, I think he's done.
Greg?
I'll say he still is because I don't know why.
Mark?
I got no.
Okay. That's interesting because I still, like, it's kind of a Bo Pelini situation where I don't know who you're going to replace him with. I think I know some candidates, probably two. Iowa State, I'm looking at them.
Yes.
Cincinnati, I'm looking at them. Hopefully not Cincinnati, but those are the two schools I would look at for replacements. But
why would Luke Fickell leave Cincinnati after winning the national championship?
Well, he's not beating Ohio State in the national championship. You know, he's gonna take sympathy with his alma mater and he'll settle for second.
The problem with whoever they bring in next is, you know, we look at it as like, well, who are they gonna replace him with? Well, the reality is you have a school who doesn't put any effort into this. They don't have any.
Sure.
I mean, look at who heads their recruiting. I know that's a little bit on Harbaugh there too, but they don't put effort into it.
Right.
And they have this idea of like this mythical Michigan man. And they're literally, I mean, he's in what, year seven? Is this year seven for him?
Yeah.
I believe literally now focusing on the Ohio State game.
Right.
Just now. Yeah. Like it. So, I mean, it's, you know, just the program's in shambles, and I don't think it's not a team that I think is like Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Texas. It's not of that nature anymore. It's a blue blood, but it's not of that nature anymore.
Agreed. Okay. Yeah, I saw some stat. I think like John Cooper, with his like much maligned as he was against Michigan, I think he was 2-10-1. Overall, and his record is still better than the last like three combined coaches at Michigan versus Ohio State. So that puts it into perspective right there. All right, so we've talked a lot about Ohio State. We talked a little bit about Michigan. Let's get your guys' Heisman predictions. So just give me, I'm going to just read off the names that are at the top of the, you know, the betting lines. But if you guys have somebody else you want to nominate or say as your favorite, go with that. So Spencer Rattler is the favorite from Oklahoma, Bryce Young, Alabama, DJ Ugalele, I believe. I might have butchered that. JT Daniels at Georgia, Sam Howell at UNC, and CJ Stroud is actually next on that list for Ohio State. So those are your top, what is that, six guys. So what do you guys think about the Heisman?
I think Brock Purdy from Iowa State. I think he's gonna put up some numbers this year. That team is pretty, pretty good. Now, I don't want to say scary good yet, but that is a really good team. And I'd like to see how Matt Campbell can take it, you know, from the success of last year, taking on into this year, see how that continues. Yeah. But I put him in my top four. I think he could. I think he can get himself there.
Okay, Bill.
I think Spencer Rattler is going to end up winning it, just the way the scheme of Oklahoma and who they play. If I had it my way, in my heart, Mackenzie Milton would win it at Florida State, the old UCF quarterback.
I like
He's still in year six, still slugging them down there. But I think Spencer Rattler is, it's his to lose, but I know it's early in the year to say, but I feel like every year it's the same story.
Oklahoma quarterback
wins Heisman.
Yep. Greg, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's a good point to add is what the last 2 years the Heisman Trophy winner would have completely not even been in the conversation at the beginning of the season, right? Burrow completely off the radar. Devontae Smith, I don't think, was anywhere near there. So it's always kind of keeping that in mind. But it's hard to go against Rattler. I'm gonna say CJ, and I'm not even gonna attempt to pronounce his last name, from Clemson, just because they have a ridiculously easy schedule, and he was very impressive when he played for in place of Lawrence last year. I do think he'll put up some numbers, and they probably won't lose a game if they can get past Georgia.
Okay. All right. Very good. Smalls.
My pick, if gun to my head, would be Sam Howell at UNC. But I kind of like what Brett said about Iowa State, not Purdy, but the dark horse would be Breece Hall for me, the running back. This is his third year. Kind of the way Campbell uses his offense. I mean, that guy is an NFL star. I expect big things out of them, but Sam Howell, I think he's going to get like 60 attempts a game. So we'll see. If they win 10 or 11 games, I could see him winning it.
Okay.
All right, I have one more name. I think, I think JT Daniels has the schedule out in front of him to win the Heisman. Yeah, if he could beat Clemson, and if he could knock off Alabama, I think that's enough right there. I there's a lot of hype with Georgia every year. People are really talking him up this year. So if he could get the ball in the right places, I think he is set up to do very well in the Heisman race.
Okay.
He was on my radar too.
I agree with
you. Yeah. And I agree with 100%. You. I think if they can swing the game against Clemson, if he gets those two wins, he's at least a lock to get there, I think, because most of the other games are manageable for sure.
Okay.
Right. And by the way, I am going to go with Spencer Rattler. I didn't name my winner.
But no, that's good. Spencer that's Rattler. Good. Okay. Yeah, I'm going with DJ from Clemson as well. I think he's going to I think he's going to do some really good things, and he's got some receivers to work with down there too. So
Uagalele.
I think it's Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Oh, there you go.
Uiagalelei. Uiagalelei. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's
so it's
DJ. Whatever. Is. Mike Tirico had it down. Like no one ever had that name down. Mm-hmm. 700 times in that Notre Dame.
Greg, maybe he should have his own website and pronounce it like Zbigniew Fedorovich.
That
Clemson. Only would have guessed that joke.
That Syracuse broadcast school really paid off for Tariq. All right, let's go through each conference, each of the Power Five, real quick, and just give me your winner for the conference. So let's start with, we got to start with the elephant, no pun intended, in the room. Let's start with the SEC. I'll just give you my pick offhand. I'm going to go with Bama. I just think that's the until somebody knocks them off, I'm going Bama.
I'm going Georgia.
Oh, I like it. Okay. All right.
I'm with Brett once again. I'm going Georgia.
Bill?
Yeah, I'm going to be a sucker and pick Georgia. I just know I'm going to like be sitting there in October and being sad, but or in late November when they play Alabama. Or December, I guess. I'll pick Georgia.
Okay. Greg?
I'm going to say Alabama, but watch out for A&M. Bama's got to go to College Station. That's going to be a tough game. Maybe.
Those two have to play each other at least. So one will knock the other one out.
Okay. All right. Very good. ACC, I'm going to go with the obvious one. The only team that's really any good in the ACC, Clemson.
Clemson.
I'm a big Clemson as well, even though I'm not high on them at all this year. But they'll get a ton.
Yeah, no? Anybody not named Clemson is North Carolina because of Sam Howell, but I mean, it's hard not to pick Clemson.
Greg?
Clean sweep, Clemson.
Okay, Clemson all around. Pac-12. Brett?
I mean, I really like Oregon, but I'm actually going to go Washington on this one.
Bill?
Let's be fun with it. I'm gonna go USC.
Okay. I like Greg.
Is Clay Helton still the interim coach? I think we talked about this last year. That's been an interim coach for 12 years.
Hey, this is the year where he makes his contract.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going USC as well.
Fight on, baby.
And Billy's flying out there for one of the games, right?
Yep, for like $12. The ticket for $12.
I'll tell you what. I know we're running out of time, but one of my bucket lists on stadiums in any sport is the LA Coliseum. I just think that looks like an awesome place to watch a game.
Okay. And Smalls, how about you?
UCLA.
Oh,
I like that pick. I like that pick a lot. Chip Kelly is back, baby.
They got a big game this weekend.
Yes,
big
I
game.
Do.
Not a conference game, but big game against LSU. He got his first non-conference win this past weekend against the mighty Hawaii Warriors.
I wasn't happy that they were like the only game on. Everybody got to see my secret team, UCLA.
I like it.
They got a big one this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their offensive coordinator will be at Ohio State one day. And Justin Fry. He's got a really good relationship with that staff. And a lot of what Chip Kelly does is that's what Ryan Day learned. And I just really like their team.
Okay. All right, very good. I'm going with Brett on this one, and I told you guys I took Washington the over. They are my sleeper team to make the college football playoff. I think there's an outside chance they can go 12-0. Very, very small chance, but I mean, the win total for them was, what did I say? It was like 9 or 8.5. I mean, that felt like free money to me. So, so I think they're a 10-2 football team probably, but sleeper chance to get to the college football playoff. They'll probably end up 2-10 now that I said that, but we'll see. All right, Big 12.
I'm going to go Oklahoma. I really like Iowa State, but I'm going to go Oklahoma.
Bill?
Oklahoma. I think, I don't know. I know Mark's going to disagree with me, but I don't think Steve Sarkisian's ready, and I don't think he's that all that.
Okay. Greg?
So that's interesting. There's been a lot of Iowa State talk, and Iowa State actually is my pick. They have to go to Norman, but there's no team that blows home games with the regularity that Oklahoma seems to do every year. And I think Iowa State goes there and beats them and wins the conference.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah, I have Oklahoma reluctantly. Seems too chalky, but they are by far the most talented team, so they better get it done.
That's kind of how I feel, too. I wrote Oklahoma down reluctantly because, like Greg said, I feel like they have a game or two. They slip up every single year, but they're better than Texas. They're better than Iowa State, but Iowa State is a better coach team and just seems to get it done. So I think that is going to be a big matchup, and they could end up playing twice. They really could.
Yes.
So it could be whoever wins the second matchup. But yeah, I think Oklahoma, I'm going to take with that. All right. We're going to save any national championship picks for later in the season. I think it's a little too early to make that call, but let's get to one final question. I thought this was just fun. We talked about Quinn Ewers getting his truck and drinking kombucha. So if you guys had an NIL contract you could sign with any company or for any product, I think I've asked Greg this question before and I stumped him. So I wanted to send that out earlier in a text. So just give me one product or one company you would advertise for. Brett, let's go with you.
I had to go first. Damn it. A lot of it depends on how big.
By the way, real quick, can't be alcohol, porn.
Damn it. Son of a gun. I was good with alcohol, but you know, man. Okay. No, I probably, you know, big time, I would try and do something like Ford, you know, whatever, Toyota, what, I don't care, car. Okay. Smaller athlete, I'd try and keep it more local and either do a dealership or something like that.
Okay.
But cars is probably the route I would go.
That's a good pick. Bill?
I thought about this. I'm going to go Red Bull. I drink a lot of Red Bull, and I think it'd be cool to have just a fridge that's a Red Bull fridge. Plus, it's always cool to know the guy just has a bulk of Red Bull. If not that, then like Canes or Chipotle.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, Greg?
Yeah, I'm going kind of the same direction Brad's going. I'm thinking like a BMW dealership or something. If you did Ford or Toyota, you'd have to do something really embarrassing on the commercial. But like if you get into like kind of like BMW, Mercedes, Audi, I feel like you can, you might be spared having to sing some kind of weird jingle. But either way, you get a hell of a nice car out of the deal.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I'd be Canes all the way, drinking the sauce straight from the cup. That was a no-brainer for me.
No, I love it. That's great. I went into a Ford dealership recently because I was trying to look into purchase a Ford Bronco, and they are so far back ordered I had to put $100 down to reserve a future build for like 2022. So I'm going to go with the Ford Bronco. Hopefully my athletic ability gets me to the front of that line and gets me that NIL deal for the future Ford Bronco. I might go white in honor of the juice. I'm not sure.
I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about athletic ability in Ford Broncos. Like, are you sure about
that one's, the white one's backed up for 3 years.
Comes with a free glove. free glove. All right, guys, this was fun. Appreciate you guys. We'll check in during the football season, but thanks for doing this. And hopefully we're right on a lot of our predictions. Hopefully you guys are right with the 12-0 and I'm wrong with the 11-1. So we'll talk soon. Go Bucks.
For the 330 Sports Show, wanted to just kind of let you know what Thursdays during the football season will look like for us on the podcast. So each Thursday, we're going to preview and break down the Browns opponent for that coming week. We're also going to talk about Ohio State and what their schedule and upcoming opponent looks like that week. We are going to have our normal Thursday tailgate or Tailgate Thursday with Steve Leslie from YSN. And I'm also going to give you some of my Thursday thoughts on other sports, on maybe podcasts, on movies, on different things that might be going on in the pop culture world. So make sure to tune in for that. And we're going to have a great time during football season. Appreciate the support. And now back to the show.
What's up, guys? Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Joining me, as always, for his Thursday visit is Steve Leslie. Steve, doing double duty this week, did the YSU show with Bob Hannon Tuesday night, and this is going to be for our Thursday show. So, Steve, grilling up all the high school football stuff with our Tailgate Thursday. So, Steve, thanks again for joining us, and, you know, what do you got on the docket this week?
First of all, week three, that's hard to believe already. 2 weeks in the books, and had an awful lot of fun, Bob and I, with you last night talking YSU. Look forward to that to tomorrow. But, you know, pretty big week of football for high school football. I broke up some things. The first thing, 2-0, now you can start talking some undefeated teams. And we have a bunch in our area, Justin. Austintown Fitch, the Borman Spartans, the Hubbard Eagles, Warren JFK, LeBray, Struthers, Ursuline, Jefferson, Newton Falls, South Range, Salem, and West Branch. So that's a pretty good group of undefeated teams. There's some very good teams in that mix that I think to continue on. There's some teams there that have tough games this week. So this is a big week, week three. Some teams will go on the road, and I'll go into some of those. But you know, anytime you can start out 2-0 as a football team, I think that's a good sign. I wanted to shout out all our undefeateds to start off the show. And, you know, last week we talked about top players. We had some great performances again last week. Niles running back, Antoine Garner, carried the ball 35 times for 185 yards and 3 touchdowns in their win. They were behind and had a couple nice runs late there in the game to get them their win. So a shout out to that young man, 3 touchdowns and 185 yards. And the big thing for me, 35 carries, Justin, that's a lot of carries and a lot of wear and tear. So shout out to Antoine Garner from Niles. And the second one, one of those undefeated teams that we talk about, Struthers, Coach Bayek is doing a nice job at Struthers. Their offense is very good. It's been talked about all offseason. Dylan Greenwood, their starting quarterback from Struthers, had over 200 yards passing and threw for 3 touchdowns. They are undefeated, also 2-0, and Coach Bayak has raved about their offense and their receivers. Ekoniak's a good receiver, and it obviously starts with the senior Dylan Greenwood at quarterback. So shout out to Dylan for a great game and win number 2. Third guy, West Branch is one of those teams, Justin, that every year they have a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. Every year they have a good record. They're off to a 2-0 start again. Drew DeShields threw 5 touchdown passes for 319 yards. And wow. I think he's one of those guys, and they're one of those teams that's going to continue to get better every week. They're well coached. They play a good schedule. If you remember last year, they lost to Ursuline in the playoffs in a very high scoring game. So, lose a great quarterback, but Drew DeShields is picking up a quarterback. So shout out to that young man for a great week, 5 touchdown passes.
I'm going to guess Drew DeShields is related to the girls coach, Walt DeShields, over there.
That is his son. That's a okay. good guess. That's his okay. son. A lot of great athletes in their family. Coach DeShields is one of my favorite guys. We do a lot of things with him at YSN. Drew's a great kid and from a great sports family, and they do a great job of of supporting all their kids. So you're right on target with that. But shout out to him. Next one, Ursuline went over to Hickory, and everybody, Hickory is a lot more talented than that show scored. The big difference for me in that game, it was Ursuline's second game and Hickory's first game. I think that's a big difference. But
no.
Senior running back DeMarcus McElroy had 4 touchdowns and 230 yards rushing. And we've talked about Ursuline and Brady Shannon and Ja'Kylin Irving and Dean Boyd and their offensive line. But when DeMarcus McElroy gets it going like he could be one of the best backs in the area. 230 yards and 4 touchdowns. So shout out to that young man. And the last one, it's back to the quarterback. Salem, you know, they will play West Branch at the end of the year. That will be an aerial shootout. Jackson Johnson, Coach Johnson's son, in 2 games, Justin, has just been unbelievable. Probably the best quarterback numbers with Ballone. But again, last week he threw for 440 yards and had 3 touchdown passes. So again, I talk a lot about of our area. I talk a lot about our skill. I could have listed another 10 players. A lot of guys having great weeks, but I thought those 5 stood out to me this week. They continue to lead their teams. A lot of the players we're naming are undefeated. 4 of those guys are undefeated. Niles is 1-1, so they continue to do great things. So Steve Leslie's top 5 performances, those guys, shout out to them, their teams, and congrats on being the top 5 performers.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Once again, too, I'm looking at this list. Niles, Struthers, West Branch, Ursuline, Salem. You got all 3 counties in there, too. You got
I try to mix them up a little bit. I don't want to be that guy that stays in one county. But, again, there were so many guys that had good weeks. When we get later on, we'll add a few more and get into some things. And computer points after 3 or 4 weeks will come into play. We'll get into those things. But really, to start it, you want to always shout out the undefeated teams, which we have a bunch, and those top performers. So hats off to that group for sure.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, there's matchups. I have 6 that are really good ones. Won't get into as in-depth as we have been with the other things we did. But the first one that jumps out to me, and it's maybe not the biggest game in the area, but Warren JFK is undefeated. There was a lot of concerns with them. They've scored a lot of points, have a lot back. Eddie Kiernan, the center, leads the way for them. Their skill is always good. They're going to play Garrettsville Garfield, who's also 2-0. That is a team that's played a lot of our local teams in the playoffs. They beat Cardinal Mooney last year in the playoff round. Played a very good game against Crestview, if I remember, in the playoffs. 2-2-0 teams that I think I'm curious to see in this game. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. I think 2 of these teams are, when they get to the playoffs, can do some damage. They're perennial playoff teams. That game just sticks out to me on our YSN network. We just added Garrettsville Garfield. Obviously, we have Warren JFK. So if fans are looking for an offensive shootout, that's the one to me that jumps off the charts. Garrettsville Garfield will go to Warren JFK and play JFK. I think that has the makings of a great game.
Okay. Are they the G-men, if I got
Garrettsville
it right?
Garfield G-men. That's good. Absolutely.
That's a cool nickname.
People remember that. You know, it's not real far. It's outside of Warren.
Yeah.
They just joined with us on YSN, so we're proud to have them. And that's a big, big football game for both of those teams. And with playoff expansions, I think that's one of the games that I really have my eye out on this weekend.
Very good.
Second one, I think you have to go to Austintown Fitch. Last week they played Canton McKinley away. Maybe not the type of game they wanted to play defensively. Coach Parker, you know, still working on some things. Sherwood again at quarterback.
Yeah.
The young offensive line continues to get better. They scored 42 in Tom Benson Stadium. They go on the road again against the good Canton Glen Oak team who plays a lot of tough opponents. Their schedule's very good. It's a tough place to play. That's a tough game for Austintown Fitch, but I think Coach Parker does such a good job of getting kids ready to play week by week that they'll have them ready. The offensive line, I think, showed improvement from week 1 to week 2 offensively. McKinley did some things on defense. I think you'll see some things defensively change for them. The Smith boy at Austintown Finch continues to be big in their secondary. Yeah. I saw on some social media stuff continues to be recruited heavily. So Cam Smith is that guy in the secondary, and that's a big one. They used to be in the league together when they were in the Federal League. That it's a rivalry, maybe not as big as people know from our area, but the Canton, Glen Oak, and Fitch when they play is always a good game, and we're lucky to have that one on YSN also.
Absolutely.
Next one is a good one. I talked Coach Bayek and Struthers. I want to give Struthers some love. They're 2-0. They came back. They scored a touchdown late last week to win. Dylan Greenwood is a very good quarterback. Their offense is dynamic. They can run it. They can throw it. Defensively, they've given up some points, and they're going to play a tough Streetsboro team that's going to come to town, who is a playoff power, lost to Campfield last year, likes to throw the football, likes to run a lot of plays in a game, will be a high offense, no huddle, a fast-paced game. And honestly, I think that helps Struthers a little bit. I like what Coach Bagg's doing. The Struthers community is behind this football team, and it's two undefeated teams again. So a lot of matchups this week. We talked those 2-0 teams. You have 1-0 Streetsboro headed to Struthers at 2-0. Will be a huge test for Struthers, no question. Probably their toughest game of the year, but that's a game if Struthers can win, can garner a lot of computer points for them as they get into that tough league that they play in as the year goes on. So, again, another offensive game for our fans on YSN and the Audible. Keep an eye on that Struthers-Streetsboro game for sure.
And real quick, Steve, before you get into game four here, I got to give you guys at YSN a shout out. You know, I tend to, I don't know, I don't watch a ton of high school football live. You know, I listen sure. I check in the scores and stuff, or I'll check in on a game I'm very curious about. But when there's a bunch of different games and, you know, you're going through, you know, the Warren JFK Garfield game, the Fitch Glen Oak, the Struthers Streetsboro game, whatever it might be. If you have, let's say, a family member at Struthers, but your kid plays at Fitch, that's so cool to be able to check in on your guys' Audible show. That's so cool.
It is. We enjoy doing it. Again, the games are free this weekend on YSNlive.com/live. You can get every game we have. And the Audible call is also free. Mike Ackleson does a great job. And I'll be in the studio again with him this weekend. I enjoy that because it's every game. When teams get near the goal line or it's the end of the game and those games are close, we'll get to those games. So, again, hats off to DJ and Brian for their vision. And the Audible call is good to have. We see a lot of people in the stands with their phones, not only watching their high school team play, but checking out others. So, you know, we appreciate the support 330 gives us. You guys do a great job. And for the fans, just hop on YSN Live on Friday night and you can catch a lot of football.
I mean, it's just, you know, and I want to let you get back into your games here, but it's just a very cool, unique feature that you don't really get anywhere else. So
it is. It's a fun night. You know what? I'm going to have to get you over to the studio on a Friday night and let get a look of, I don't want to say chaos because it gets a little hectic, yeah. But we usually have 7 or 8 people in there. We all take 2 or 3 games apiece. And, you know, you try to hone in on every touchdown you can. I think last week, week one, we had 70 touchdowns live on that show. And I think this week we were near 90. So okay. We hope for 100 this week, but we appreciate the support. The community and fans love it. And but definitely, I'm going to get you out in the studio. I'm going to get with DJ and get you out on Friday night.
Sounds good.
Here's one. You know, I like to jump all over. So Salem's 2-0. A real good 2-0. I don't see too many people beating them. I don't see them losing many games. Jackson Johnson, X-line, the receiver, they've been lethal for 2 games, continue to put up high numbers. Coach Johnson is one of the best coaches in the area. They're going to go to East Liverpool. And East Liverpool's 1-1. That's a rivalry out that way. East Liverpool lost their first game and won this week. That's a big rivalry for Salem and Liverpool when they play. And I expect Coach Johnson and Jackson and X-Line and their offense to continue to roll. They put up big numbers. I enjoy watching them play. Their offensive line is fantastic. and they play good defense. Sometimes I think that their defense doesn't get enough credit because of the offensive numbers that they put up. But that's game four, and Liverpool has some talented athletes in the secondary and the skill positions. So that's another good football game.
No doubt.
Number five, this is a step up for the Bournemouth Spartans. They're going to travel to Maslin Jackson, who is one of the best teams in the state. Four-year starter quarterback, being highly recruited. Have talked with Coach Antrim. Had Stephen Conti, his safety, on last night on our player profile. I don't think Boardman gets as enough credit as they should get with the start they've had. They beat Cardinal Mooney in a good win over a Cheney team that's very talented. Coach Antrim has done a fantastic job, in my opinion, to be 2-0. This is a huge step for them. I'm curious to see where they go. O'Hara is the key for them. Terrence Thomas is still a little injured yet, so I don't think he's going to go this one. But Cam Thompson, Fernando Ortiz has been that running back. He had the go-ahead touchdown for those guys. Love on the line of scrimmage has been huge. Their young guys, Terleski on the line, getting experience. Huge test for them. Huge step up. But I think this is one that they're going to compete very well. And I think if they could win a football game like this, the Spartan community will be proud. So that's game five. And that's a great matchup. Not a good, easy place to play.
Absolutely.
Maslin Jackson is loaded. And not they'll do it all. They're coached well. Good running game, good passing game. Not real big, but good size across the board, and are just coached very well. Every year they put out a great team and have been able to put it on Boardman the last few years. So I look forward to watching that. I wish Seth and the Spartans the best of luck as they head to Canton. So we have a lot of teams on the road. You know, that game,
yeah.
Fitch goes to Glen Oak. The last one for me is it's the game of the weekend. Chardon will host the Ursuline Irish. Chardon is the defending state champ. Ursuline is that team that wants to win a state championship. And I think when you get teams like this, it's great football. They have a lot of Division I recruits at Chardon. It's a great stadium. It's a tough stadium. They have a great defense. Their offense is fantastic. They do a lot of different things, have some skill back, have some big-time Division I recruits. And Coach Reardon, you know, he has a nice group over there. DeMarcus at the running back, Brady Shannon at quarterback, the receivers that we've talked about, Boyd and Irving and Bernie and Manning. This just has the makings of a great one. And I think the good part about it is them playing one another in week three. A loss to either one of them doesn't hurt. They're both going to be playoff contenders. But I love a matchup for Ursuline going to a Division III state champ on the road. Kind of shows you their mentality. When you look at Ursuline now, they're going to go to Chardon this week and go to Austintown Fitch next week. So, wow. Two big weeks. I think they're talented, and I think it's going to be a great game. We're thrilled to have that one also. So those six games have some matchups with people that are talented that can advance a long way in the playoffs, and those are the ones I picked. And there's a lot of other great games we'll have on YSN Live and the Audible show, but those six for football fans, if you're looking for some excitement, you're looking for some athletes, and you're looking for some people to throw the football, those are the games to go to.
Absolutely. I mean, what a great slate you got there. I mean, every game's awesome. And you got covered from, you know, as far down south as East Liverpool all the way up to, you know, near Ashtabula. So you got them all. You guys got them all covered. You got Stark County in there. You got, I mean, you got them all.
Yeah. So,
old.
Yeah, that's the unique one. A lot of, we don't have a lot of times as many teams going on the road as we do this week. This is a big week to go on the road. We're excited about it. We're excited for fans from our area that can't get out to games. We'll have them all, and just tune in to us. I know Friday from like 9 a.m. till all our shows go, we'll be running all our coaches' corners and all our players. So it's a football Friday at YSN. Can't thank you guys enough for promoting what we do and like I said, it was a pleasure last night to sit and talk YSU football with you.
I mean, it's a blast because I learned a lot from you guys, and you know, you're only going to get better, you know, listening to the experts do what they do. So I appreciate you guys taking the time, you taking the time each week with us. My only question I have for you going forward, ESPN had IMG and Bishop Sycamore last week. When are we getting a Bishop Sycamore game on YSN?
We're still in talks with the Bishop Sycamore to get that. Yeah, that's an unfortunate situation that, you know, it continues, and it looks like it just continues to get worse, which is a shame. And, you know, you could place a lot of blame in a lot of different places, but, you know, that happens, unfortunately. And, you know, we're proud of what we do. Our announcers spend a lot of time, and DJ spends a lot of time in trying to promote YSN and all our schools. And we've got great support. We do. And without great people like yourselves that watch and listen. So we're very fortunate, and we look to continue to get bigger and better.
Absolutely. Well, keep doing what you guys do, Steve. And, you know, everyone out there, be sure to tune in over there to YSN, YSNlive.com. Check out all their coaches' corners. They do athlete spotlights. They, you know, put out a ton of great content, including obviously the games on Friday night. So, Steve, thanks again. It's close to 9:30. You haven't eaten dinner yet. So go
No dinner, but let's go Buckeyes for sure, Buckeyes. Let's go Buckeyes. So you keep your eye on that one. And fans, get out and see the Penguins tomorrow night. It's a young, talented football team. It's going to be a great environment. I'm excited. I told you to see fans and tailgates. So shout out to Coach Phillips and the Penguins. Get some rest tonight, and let's win a big first game tomorrow.
I'll tell you what. Do a double duty, everybody, tomorrow night. Watch the Buckeyes. Put it on mute. And then listen to you and Bob over.
I'll take that one. Absolutely. I'm all in on that. Appreciate you, Justin.
Have a great night, Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.